believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laugh. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
So powerful, because the children are our future, and we have to teach them well, allow them to lead the way. Teach them well and allow them to lead the way, because how can they lead if we don't teach them how? How can they lead if we don't teach them? So, hey, welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. is Kathy Clyburn, and I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, block by block, focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So keep that in mind. To acknowledge God with a scripture and a prayer. And I'm going to introduce our host. And we have, as always, first host, Jacqueline Vandegrift. She's going to do our scripture and prayer, our scripture. And then we have Rebecca Johnson. We have Callie Clyburn. Rebecca's going to do our prayer. We have to pray, okay? We have Callie Pierce. And we have our youth hosts, Jacob Ripbron and Shania Cox, representing the youth and the young folk and the young adults. And, of course, we have that one and only one of a kind, all pastor, awesome anchor man, Pastor O from Runner for Christ Ministries. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so we'll hear from him later on in the show. And if he wanted to just pop in, you know, he could do that. Okay, so Sister Jacqueline Vandegrift, take it away.
Yes, hi, Miss Kathy and Miss Johnson and the other hosts and Pastor Overall and the young youth. Listen, I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And if your gift, and if it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I am honored to open us up in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, precious Lord, we thank you for your generosity and kindness and patience. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. We thank you for waking us up again for another new chance to do better, for opportunities to serve, for your word, for your presence, for all the prayers you have already answered and all the blessings we have already received. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things and that you care for and guide us. Thank you for purpose and for problems that make us stronger. We ask that you add a blessing for Sister Kathy, Pastor O, Sister Jackie, Sister Callie, Shania, Jacob, and everyone who will participate, and for every person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We ask that you draw us all closer to you. We ask that you make it clear to each of us what we can do to bring back the family and support children in need. We ask that you cause children to be impressed with the importance of learning to read so that they can read your word and write it on the tablets of their hearts. And we ask for all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen and amen to all of that. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca and Sister Jackie. You guys have just been a true blessing to bring back the family to me and everybody around this world. God planned all of this. I didn't do any of this God plan. He brought you guys right here to jump right on in and just do your thing. I didn't have to ask. You just jumped right in. And just took charge like we want this world to do, block by block with our youth, okay? So wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Times are thinking ahead. And it's time for us to wake up, get engaged, and make a difference, okay? It's calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability, okay? Who is responsible and who is willing to take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Who? Who is willing? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter of passing the torch and running the race and doing great things because we prepared them? We could do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community and the people around us. Okay? Just picture it. Making sure your kids have just what they need to make it in this world so that they can go out and be good, productive citizens. Okay? We don't want our youth to go out and make a bad name for themselves, okay? So those names mean something, and it's something to be proud of. It was given to us to carry around and be, and represent, okay? So what is Bring Back the Family? Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we as parents and community need to do for our youth and our kids and our children educationally, professionally, spiritually, being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning and life in order for our youth to be good, productive citizens so that they are able to contribute and be a contribution positively to society and others all around this beautiful world. Wouldn't that be beautiful? So what do we propose to do? Bring back the family, block by block. Propose that we do this, just like I said, block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it. So we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? And it's just simply giving back, giving more of what we had. It's a different world today. It's a different time, a different generational mindset. So we want to be able to just meet the youth that we love, that we brought into this world, that God gave us charge over to take care of. We need to meet them right where they are, right where they are. And God will do the rest, okay? So we propose to do it block by block. Do something on your block. And it's just a matter of sharing, caring, showing love, being a positive role model, and just a good example that our youth can see, live, and learn by. Okay? So they're watching us, and we're the examples, good examples that we want them to, whatever we want to see, that's what we're going to demonstrate. Okay? That's what we're going to demonstrate. And so don't everybody want that? Okay? Just look back on your own life and see, you know, see what you see. Do you see good times? Do you see what someone did for you? What your community was like? Is it a good picture or a bad picture? What kind of picture is it? I know mine was good. I look back all the time. I love it. And it just makes me want to make sure that every kid that come in my sight, in my reach, that they can have something to look back on to. Okay? Get the picture? So block by block, do something on your block. If it's just starting a book club, doing a career fair on your block, education awareness, just showing love, kindness, concern. We just have to show more love. We wonder why our youth are demonstrating a lot of violence and they're arguing with each other and they're being negative towards one another because they are seeing the same things that they're demonstrating, okay? Whatever they're doing, they've seen it. And so we're not showing them love. We're not showing them how to behave. And so, because we're misbehaving. And so they're just copying and mimicking what we do. Okay, so just love. Love goes a long, long ways, a long ways. And it's contagious, okay, just being kind. You know, buy some kids some books. It's so important that we read books and make sure our kids are reading. We talked about last week how they're taking all the books out of the classrooms and just giving paper worksheets to read. That's no fun, okay? Like I said, being a positive role model, books, workbooks, outings, field trips, you know, and fun things, skating, movies. Enroll them in karate. Enroll them in some sport, basketball, football, so that they could get some, you know, scholarships and just be physically fit. It's a lot to it, and it requires quality time. It requires quality time, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give our kids quality time because they gave it to us. We had quality time. So, block by block. Cats Kids is doing their thing. We just got completed a summer camp program, and they really enjoyed it. All it took was to take my kids off the block, take them to one of the community churches that was having a summer camp, and they just did activities, and they learned a lot. They learned a lot, and they were looking forward to going each time. Each morning they were looking forward to go. And they did arts and crafts, and at the end they gave them backpacks. And, they were very happy with that. And I think they said they made some homemade ice cream. They made a bird cage and a birdhouse. Had all the seats in my van, but they made that birdhouse. And so that was cool. And so when it was over, it was over. But that was about eight to ten weeks of a summer camp that kept them busy from the morning to the afternoon. And all it took was just signing them up, okay? And we're still continuing to go golfing on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they're enjoying that. They're learning a lot. We got a lot to work on. A whole lot to work on. And a lot of times these shows that we have are really about, you know, what I'm learning from them that we need to talk about. Okay? So, this is history. It's history in the making, and somebody is going to be helped now and later and in the future by bringing back the family, block by block. What else do we have to do? What are we going to do for God before we leave here? What? Come on, get on board. Get on board with bringing back the family and block by block, focus on the youth. Do something on your block to help our youth. Because if we don't, we will be victims of not helping. Picture that. We're seeing it now. Okay, so today we're going to talk about resources, and resources are just what, you know, they are resources. That was a resource that was given to me about the summer camp, you know. And so if we give out resources and tell you about things that's going on, you know, get involved. Get your youth and your kids involved. I went by one of the pastors in the community, and he's getting ready to get on his block, and he was actually doing it the other day, and I forgot what it's called, 5 minutes or something. I can't wait to find out what they're doing over there on Bassett Street. And they had a gang of kids sitting on the porch getting ready to do whatever it was they were going to do. And I'm going to find out what it is. But they are doing something on the block with their youth. That's Reverend Thomas. I can't remember what church he belongs, but he's a community pastor. And him and his wife are doing something great on their block with their kids. And so they were going to talk about resources. And Ravitrius Cowan is going to come with some resources about, you know, helping our youth obtain knowledge. And 'cause that's what resources are. It helps you to obtain knowledge and direction that will help you in your future. You know, we got to take advantage of these resources that we're hearing about and share them. We're going to talk about the importance of reading and writing, and, you know, it's a tool for life, a life tool, and continue to talk about preparing our youth for future success. And so as they go back to school, we're going to give you, you know, the resources that and activities that they could get involved in. What can parents do to help students succeed? What do schools want from the parent? How can a parent help a struggling student? And what should parents do to help their child? Okay, and those are questions that we could try to give answers to, okay? So first we're going to have Ms. Cowan, Avitrius Cowan, call her AV. And 3659, just press 1, and you'll be in the host queue. And she's going to give us some resources and tell us what's going on in the community that our parents can take advantage of. Are you with us, Ms. A.B.?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Glad to have you. Thank you for appearing on Bring Back the Family.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going to be going on. School hasn't officially started, but we do have some information about some programs and some of my programs that I love. They haven't posted yet, but I'll give you their information about and let you know, and I'll be back once the programs come available. Something that Kathy talked about, the reading and the writing, that's so important for our children to have, because as we know in this world where we have programs like ChatGPT where you don't have to do any, you don't have to know anything. You just say what you want into the phone or your computer, and it writes it and develops it for them. If you want to say, I need an essay on daisy flowers, and it'll write the whole thing out for you. So this is what our kids are competing against, but the knowledge that they gain, that's something that can't be taken away. So back to school is a lot of back to school programs. I mean, a lot of back to school opportunities for backpacks and school supplies. But I first want to go with this one that Kathy provided me with. It's an opportunity for high school black male high school seniors. This is a message from Dr. Glenda Glover, the president of Tennessee State University, and her community affairs liaison, Ms. Brenda Morrell. So TSU and Meharry Medical School is now offering a 7-year combined undergraduate MD or DDS degree program. And they said it's similar to the CUNY Sophie Davis program. They have to meet the desired goals for enrollment of they've met the high school requirements for the females, but they have not one black male that has enrolled in this program, that has not taken this opportunity. So they're begging, they're looking for black male seniors. So if you know a senior, or even if you don't know somebody, just speak of it, let them know about it. And if they're interested in becoming, getting their MD or their DDS, they have to have a 28 on their ACT, a 3.5 GPA, and to apply for the program. So what we'll do is I'll make sure I get this information posted on the Running for Christ ministry resource page, and it'll have the link to apply to get more information on it. I mean, how often do we have an opportunity in our communities for our children to be able to go through medical school and don't come out with any debt? I mean, that's just amazing. So this is a great opportunity. So I will be sending this information over to have it posted on our site. Also, I haven't gotten the information. They haven't posted it yet. I've talked to my contacts both at Wayne State Math Corps. So Wayne State Math Corps is a program that is ran by the Wayne State engineering students, and it's from grade 6 program. They have a year-round program, and then they also have a Saturday program. So this program is strictly on math. It gives our children the leg up on math, which we know a lot of our children, they struggle with math. So it's a 6-week summer program, and what's happening is that these kids are scoring higher on when they do these tests in the Detroit public schools. They're scoring higher because they're learning how to be able to do math like they're in college, and they're being taught by college students who eventually are going to be engineers. So I will post the information also for them, so you can reach out to them and their contact phone number if you're interested. So it's 6th grade through 12th grade. And like I said, they run this program. It's year-round. They just finished up, their summer program, so they're going to be getting ready to go into their fall, to their Saturday session. And I think a lot of people probably know about DAPSET. DAPSET is also going to be getting ready to start up. So DAPSET focuses, it originally, you know, science, technology, and engineering and math. That's what STEM stands for, science, technology, engineering, and math. So these are areas that we know that our kids in the community lag in, and they have all type of programs, and this program has grown. It's so big. They're connected with so many colleges across the country. And this summer they offered, and I was hoping somebody took the program and let me know, they were offered them a 16-week Python program in computer science, and they also paid for them to be able to take a certification test. So what this meant is that a kid that may not have the financial, have the money to be able to go to school, or maybe it's someone in college is not for them, it gave them an opportunity to take this program and come out with a certification in Python. And this is out the door. So, and you're 16 years old and you have a certification. So you're geared to be able to work in the world of technology with this program. And most of those certifications start like $60,000, $70,000 a year. But as a 16-year-old, if you continue to build on it by the time you graduate, imagine where, you know, that salary can be and the opportunity for you to be able to also come back and give to your community. That's just one of the things they do. So once the information is available, that will be posted on our site also. So right here in our little community of Southwest Detroit, the Kimmeny Center is going to have a back-to-school blitz. It's going to be Friday, August 18th from 2 to 6 at Kimmeny Center. And they're going to be giving away all the school supplies that they need. They're going to have available for haircuts and hairstyles. They're going to have carnival rides and games and free food. And that is going to be, again, on Friday, August 18th from 2 to 6 at Kimmeny Center. And that's at 2260 South 4th Street. So also, if you go to our website, a lot of information has been posted about free school supply giveaways that we got the month of August is a bunch. So I'm not going to just name them all. You can just go to the site. It tells you the dates, the times, and what they're providing. And that's on our resource page. You can go there and just scroll down, and then the flyers are posted there. About each giveaway and what's available and their dates and their times. And I just also wanted to mention a few job opportunities. One moment, let me get that open. So DDOT is currently hiring. They're hiring auto mechanics, and that's at $25.37 an hour. And they're hiring auto body mechanics at $24.92. And these are full-time positions. So hiring transportation equipment operators. If you have with your CDL training at $16.15 an hour, after probation, you move up to $17.23 an hour. And after 12 months, you move up to $18.31. If you're a coach service attendant, that's $15 an hour. And if you're a service guard, it's $15.37 an hour. And this, so that's some of the things. That information will also be posted on our website. And then there is, it's a company called PDW Workforce, and they're located in Allen Park, Michigan. And they have several jobs listed, and I will put that on there. They didn't put the salary rate in on there, but they have a lot of jobs, and I'll put that information. And then just a few other companies. Let's see. Complex Steel and Wiring out of Wayne, they're going to be hiring. They need production workers at $16 an hour. So there's going to be some more job opportunities that we're going to list on the website. And there's going to be an upcoming, it's called Michigan, the Secretary of State sponsors these. They're called Road to Restoration, where they help people who have lost their license for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. When you link you up with one of an organization, if you don't have the money to pay your ticket, they link you up with an organization that helps pay the tickets, and then Secretary of State helps you if you got points or whatever, still for you to get your license back. So once that information is posted again in our area, they just did one like last month. Once that information is posted back in the Detroit area, you do have to pre-register because the word got out and it fills up quick now. So you have to pre-register for that, but I will definitely let you know when the next one, when it's in the Downriver area. And I think that's all my information. And if anybody ever has any question, Kathy knows how to get in touch with me, and I will be more than glad to share additional information or answer any questions that anyone has. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, A.B. That was a blessing. And everybody just, if you wrote those things down, like you said, she'll have them on the rfcm.org website. Okay. That's a lot. You know, that's a very important ADAPTSET and STEM program. Those are very, very good programs in there. Are they free, AV, the ADAPTSET program?
No, used to be free, and I think the fee now, I think the fee is $50, but they have, if you can't afford the $50, they also have assistance for that, for paying that. And I think MathCorp is like the same price. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I didn't know because I'll find out and then I'll post that information on too for my contact. Okay. But the one thing about like the MathCorp program, they give them everything. Like they give them the calculators. They give them like if they have to supply them, I think we have them with bus tickets. They give them like tickets for them to be able to eat on campus. So they give them the supplies that's needed. So, but I will definitely, I'll find out both the fees for sure, and I'll post that information on our resource page.
Okay. Which program was that one? That they,
the Wayne State Math Corps, the Wayne State Math Corps program.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And then I will also post the information that Wayne State also has a program just for girls. It's, they have an engineering program just for girls. And then I will also post the Cranbrook Horizon Upward Bound program. I didn't mention that, but that is another program that's available for junior high to high school, where that program is all year round. Once you get inducted into that program, Cranbrook, they test the kids. Any kids that pass the test, they get a full scholarship to Cranbrook. And as you know, Cranbrook is a private school up in Oakland County, up in Birmingham. They live on campus. And then in the summertime, they run a summer program where the kids go up there on Sunday and come back home on Friday. And it's like you're getting them the opportunity to experience that college, you know, how's college and things, because they're living in the dorms on Cranbrook and taking classes and things. And I will get that information. Now, that is free, unless they changed it. But I'll have all that information when I post it on the website.
Okay. So when does that Wayne State Math Corps program start? You know?
My contact said they haven't gotten a date yet. So when they give me she's going to email me the information. And when she emails me the information, it usually starts, it's going to probably start in September. And and the program has evolved. So what they're doing is some of the older students, they're making them, they're like aides, because they've been in the program longer, so they know, and they help, and they, I think they've been paying like a stipend or something to help the younger kids that's coming into the program.
Wow, all that's good information. Thank you so much, AV. Really appreciate you. That AdaptSet program is really a good program. I can't remember, you know, how much it cost back then when I put a few kids in there. And it was just really, really good. And it really prepares them for the future. It does, writing papers and doing presentations and things like that. And so, you know, if you want to donate to a youth, find a youth that you could put in some of these programs. All these things are knowledge, and it helps them to get on their way and to be interested in school and completing projects and things like that. So thank you so much. That's a good list of information. Yeah, I can't wait to share it with the parents, and that's what we're supposed to do, share with the parents and get them excited about their youth being involved and that they'll be able one day take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you, Sister A.V. We will look forward to you coming back soon and giving us more information.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
You. Yes, you too. Thanks. All right, Sister Jackie, Sister Rebecca, and anybody else that wants to press one and have a word to say, just get involved in the conversation.
Well,
we appreciate that. What did you think about all that good information?
That information is very important, because the relationship building for your children and the experience that they will receive with AdaptSet, it is bar none. I remember when we used to go over out in Southfield to the university, to that technical university over there, and we used to take my nephew over there, and he was a part of that. But I would like to speak on a couple of things, because we are about to embrace a new school year. And there's a twofold to this. If you have to have a plan in order for you to be successful in this school year, because in a lot of times what happens, and they say it's an occupational phenomenon right now, where people are becoming burnt out, a syndrome that's resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. And coming into the school year, and our parents are faced with trying to get the children ready for school, and also trying to maintain the employment, because the employment pays the bills for them to have a roof over their head and the other essentials. So looking at this, what is your plan for the school year? Now, one of the things I remember, and some of that went out of the window, but your children cannot, and this was something that Dick Gregory was saying, your children need a certain amount of hours of sleep. They cannot be on the games all night and think they're going to be successful in school. So we're going to have to set some rules, some boundaries, where games are played on Fridays and Saturdays, and on Sunday evenings, at certain times, because, you know, they should have church service, whether they go to church on Saturday or they go to church on Sunday. But games should be stopped by a certain time. because Sunday evening should be a time of preparation because you have a new week coming. So all your clothes, organize your clothes of what you're going to wear each day for that week. And put them in place. Make sure they're clean so in the morning time you don't have to be up, I don't know what I'm going to wear. You know, that's like we're going to work. We have to organize. So in order for parents not to become burnt out, and they were saying this, Kathy, that one of the therapies for burnout is to go on a camping trip. And guess who's going on a camping trip? It's a wonderful thing.
Who? Who's going?
Miss Kathy is going on a camping trip.
Oh.
Well, because camping trip. Because she has been very faithful, working, plus doing her business, plus Cat's kids, and when I say Cat's kids, she leaves out from her job. She's running to get them to this program, and then back to another program, and then over here to another center with some more kids, and then back to pick up one up here at Kimini, one over here at the church, a group of them at the church. And then on Thursday, she has to get them, and Tuesday, to golf. And then on Saturday, she's running to get them to the book clubs. Well, she deserves this vacation.
That sounds like the nutty professor.
Well, they said the camping trip will help prevent burnout.
Right.
And that was one of the things that I read. But...
Mm.
We, all parents, this is a call out to all parents. We need to find out the dates of the report card in advance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to get at the schedule for the parent-teacher conference, the dates in advance. We need to know what days our state testing administrated at the schools in advance. And we need to know what is the deadline for makeup work in each class. Do that class have extra credit? What is your grading system? And what are your expectations as a student and your expectation as a parent, and what is the teacher's expectation. Because we have to listen to our youth, because what's happening, and I just had this conversation a few minutes ago, that this generation is allowing technology to rob them of communication skills. Everything, when you're talking to them, okay, it's not okay. I want you to be able to be intellectual, to have a conversation with me and to explain to me what you are doing, what's on your mind, how you're going about it. Have compassion for someone else. Because if you're in that situation, you want compassion for yourself. These are the things that builds character in them. And if we don't tell them, because they're listening whether we think they are or not. But we have to stress with them. But now, one of the things is that behavior. I was reading... And Miss Johnson is the expert at some of these statistics about children before they get started, like, for instance, in your car, in your van, Miss Kathy, to breathe in and blow out. And put their hands on their stomach and feel it until they calm down. And it sometimes it takes less than 5 minutes that everybody has to practice this. And they were saying at first, it seemed like, okay, it's a little joke with them, but eventually they are feeding the brain to tell that brain that I need to relax for a moment. I'm riding into the car, and I must have car etiquette as well as inside etiquette as well as outside etiquette depending on where you are. You cannot be too loud. So these are some of the things that we need to practice, and adults need to practice it as well, because that prevents the burnout on this on your job. They're saying that this is a serious disability, burnout. So in order to avoid burnout, there are 180 school days in the school district. We must master those days and get a curve. When they say a learning curve, we need a learning curve to learn how to master those days to make sure we keep our children on top. Because like these medical doctors, this 3.5 GPA, if we don't have a plan, we don't have them ready to qualify for that. Setting milestones.
That's such a good point.
I'm glad you jumped in because, you know, you are one that has statistics on how the behavior is worked with this. Someone give you for a second.
The behavior is directly related to the reading skills. So they have, I don't have the exact numbers, but those that have behavior problems are the same ones that don't know how to read. So that was such a good point that the breathing is a technique for controlling behavior and how you feel and whether you're feeling aggressive or not, the breathing. And also we talked about a long time ago about how you can wash your face and change your attitude. You can anoint your face and it will change your attitude. But I'm glad you mentioned planning too regarding the math, because the professional services companies are recruiting, like they go to college campuses to find students that are good with math so they can offer them a ground level position at these companies, and they're offering like $80,000, $90,000 to start if you're good with math. And as far as planning is concerned, too, I wanted to mention one more thing. That is about how if you're a young person and you don't know what your skill set is, you can take these aptitude tests online. They're free. And generally, they're very long tests you can take, but it just asks you different things about what your preferences are. And then when you finish taking it, it tells you what careers you will be good in.
Now, that's wonderful. Because, you know what, one of the things, and I would like for Miss Kathy, you know, when you get back, to, and that's something we're going to, I would like to kind of bring to the forefront at either the next meeting of time we get together or not. We need a group of parents that have seniors that are going to be kids, are going to be seniors this September. We need to apply for not under 100 scholarships. I went online today and was looking at what scholarships, hit one NITRO scholarship that's due by August 31st of this year. It's $2,000. That's $2,000 the child didn't have in their pocket. Okay? Semester. And I looked at it and just at Wayne State. First semester, $31,000 and some odd cents. So if you take $2,000, you know, not to get a scholarship of $2,000, you know, not $2,000 off of that bill. If we find Tide has one that they advertise on TV, and the next time I come on, I'm gonna write the address, email down. We need to create a parent, guardian, auntie of the students, uncles of the students, pastors of the students. We need our own little organization that we can be happy and start filling out these scholarships. Because we have to sometimes be the head in order to focus our young people in the direction they need to go.
That is a really, really good idea. And I was watching YouTube today, and I saw a young man who said he graduated from high school this year, and he was just thinking about going to college. And his thinking was late. You know, it's already too late for the fall semester. So the planning, like you said, is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they don't hear it, if they don't hear it in their household, or just don't hear it, or nobody's encouraging them to do it, sometimes the light just go on themselves, like, okay, what's next? I need to, you know, go to college or get a job, what I need to do next. They don't really know because no one is talking about or even discussing it in the home.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it does take so much preparation.
If we can create a network of parents that when we see them get these resources, that we connect with certain counselors at the high schools, and come together with them and start sharing. They sharing information, and we're sharing information, and getting them a large number. Because you look at it, some of the scholarships are higher. They might be some of them some of the kids will get a full ride because they have put forward, but the children, that is not fair to get the full ride. We can make sure that those children have an opportunity as well, because it's our job to pull together as community people to embrace our youth, not just for one student, but if you have X amount of kids graduating, every last one of them need to be on there to fill out that application and hold accountability that application has been filled out, and check off their names that it has been filled out. So when they get ready to walk across that stage, they are walking across that stage knowing the direction of their future. Whether they're going to a trade school, whether they're going to college. But even to that point, since they are young and don't know their direction, why not go that direction if you have enough money to pay for you to go? And then after our kids get in college, we just can't let them run wild. They still need, we need accountability of a generation that is a little bit older than them, that can relate to their language to hold them accountable. Because like you said, Ms. Kathy, if we don't do something now, that's our future. And a lot of times kids fail the first year of school because they're overwhelmed. But if they have somebody holding them accountable that they can understand that's around their age, that's older than them, they will listen to them more so than they will listen to us.
Right. If anybody wants to get in the conversation, just press 1 and your mic will be open and you can feel free to have a conversation.
Well, while we're doing that, Ms. Kathy, isn't congratulations to you?
Well, I was going to mention that. I had it written down, Miss Jackie, yes. That's just to bring back the family, block my block. But first of all, I'm going on a fishing trip. I'm going to catch some fish and get some R&R. So
well,
I'm not sleeping, I'm going to have some cabins.
Well, deserved. We're going to bring us some fish back, right,
I'm
Kathy?
Bring some fish back.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. I'm going to bring some fish back. I sure am. I'm going to fish every day. Mm-hmm. It's peaceful to fish. I want to take the kids fishing one day because fishing is really it's peaceful, and they need to know some peace. You got to get it somewhere. And I forget to mention that, you know, when I take the cat's kids out, they are required to go to church at the end of the week after we done ran and ran and ran and they got everything that they asked for, you know. They are required to go to church, so they do that gladly. They get up and they beat me ready. I'm glad of that. So, yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. So the things that they're going through in their life and experience and, you know, with behavior and things like that, church is going to help them. They're going to, you know, have a way to be able, you know, because church is going to lead them and guide them in the right direction. And so long as they're there, they're going to hear something good. They're going to hear something that's going to help them in their future. So, yeah, so they have to go to church at the end of the week. And so that's good. I'm proud of them for doing that. Okay. So, yeah, and like I said, the fishing trip. And then Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, is officially a 501c3. Pastor Wife, open your mic. It's officially a 501c3. And so we're going to be doing some great, great, great things, and you know, yeah, keep this train moving.
And that's wonderful, Ms. Kathy, because what happens is that now people that are not able to go on their block and to get a group of kids together, because everybody's not able to do that. But the individuals that can't do it, they can donate. We'll be able to donate your 501c3, Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. Because that helps. Because going on these trips, it takes gas. The children are hungry. All the time. And a lot of times that they have needs that a lot of times people don't realize that they have. And a lot of things are, when they're coming out of the pocket, somebody else can donate and help with those things to help in the community. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very happy about that. And congratulations for your 501c3.
Cool.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations. It's for all of us. It's for you, Ms. Johnson, Pastor O, the kids, Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. It's for all of us. And it's a celebration for families. It is.
That's wonderful.
I'm just ready to, you know, just really get out there. And, you know, I'm good at the fundraising part. You know, when my nieces and nephews were doing all their activities. I was the fundraiser auntie, and they would just come and had a little check, had a little check ready or whatever we raised for them, and yeah, so they are on their way, and I just love to just reminisce on all the times that we had and the time that was put in. I had one of my nephews, because I tell him, get lost. You ain't got to come back. Just, you know, get lost and do your thing. But my nephew came home here to visit and surprise me the other day. And it was kind of late, and I said, they knocked him down. I said, who is it, you know? And he said, Boogie. I said, Boogie? What you mean, Boogie? Who's a Boogie? And I opened the door, and it really was Boogie.
But now tell him where, how far he's coming from.
Well, he came from Vegas by way of, where is he in that, one of them places they fighting over here, not Russia. He just left Russia, and now he's in, Germany, or it starts with a T, Turkey. He's in Turkey. Yeah, he came from Turkey, won another. This is his fourth championship that he has won for his team, and always bring home the trophy. Plays basketball, and when he was little, I used to call him Boogie. And he still Boogie to this day. So yeah.
And wait a minute, now on the picture,
so
he had to look up to him because he's just that tall.
Oh my God, he is tall.
Yes,
and my little man, you know, I got the little basketball court in the living room. You know, my living room looked like a daycare. Poor baby that fell asleep on the pot. And so he played basketball with them, and they was just having a good time. And he would slam the ball and pop it out his hand, and he was just so tickled. Every time he did that, he was trying to outsmart them. They just cracked me up that whole time he was here. But that was such a good surprise, and he came by, and he talked about the old days and stuff like that. We had a good time. So, you know, I like it when they come back, and they out there doing their thing, raising their families and working and all of that. So that's good. That's good. And like I said, it's his fourth championship. He was trained very well by his dad, who teaches, has the basketball training camp. And he was trained by him, so he sent him out ready. He sent them out ready, and he was able to be chosen, and his other son was chosen as well, and they're both overseas playing basketball. So, all right, out there doing their thing, being good, productive citizens, and that's what we want, all right? And that was a lot of donations, and you know, from people that helped them be able to travel while they were playing and practicing and traveling with their schools. So those were some good memories, and those are the memories that we want to make, you know, all over this world. We want to make good memories so kids could be able to look back and look back at their journey and how they got there and be happy about it, and they could come back and visit. They come back and give back, okay? So, yeah. Things are looking up. They're always up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that tickled me really good. Yeah, all grown up, because just like, you know, Ms. Pierce always said, they ain't going to be babies long. They grow up fast, very fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. So get in on the conversation. Who's out there that wants to have a word to say?
Well, just congratulations, Kat, on your accomplishments, and definitely proud of you. And just two things that I would like to add when we're talking about preparation for school. If the teacher progress report, that's another avenue that you can do to track what they have done and have not done, you know, for the school, for the kids. And that's another way, because that's what they do now, progress reports, and they can just, you can just email for it. So, and you don't have to worry about if the kid going to accidentally drop it on the way home. So make sure that you get it. So that's definitely something you can do. And I don't know, I can't I can't remember what my other thing is. But if it comes back to my memory, I'll come back in.
Yes, that is very important. Weekly progress report. Go ahead.
Yeah, I remember what it was, the scholarships. Definitely what she was saying about the scholarships. Something that's happening with the scholarships now, most scholarships have to be in, they're usually in by January, February. They pushed them back during COVID because a lot of them had to be in by the end of the year. But some of them are now, you know, January, February, usually no later than March. So she's correct on that, and that's an excellent idea, because there's so many scholarships out there. You would not believe the crazy scholarships that's out there that's available, and all of them are not, you know, you don't have to, like, you have a 3.5. There's scholarships that's out there, but you, like you say, you have to dig and you have to search for them and then help the kids learn for them, you know, teach them how to apply. They have to write papers and things like that. And that's one of the things that DAPSET does. Like, I think if you're in the fifth grade, one of the programs that DAPSET does, they make them write their first paper and in the fifth grade. And I know I wasn't introduced to writing a paper until I was in high school. So that's something else. But the scholarship thing, definitely. So that means that when they're juniors, they need to start working on it. And then there are scholarships that are available for kids that are sophomore and juniors in high school. And we need to look into that. So I will volunteer to definitely help on that. I will do that.
Thank you. You know what? That's wonderful, because if those are the things that we need. And the thing about it is that you're young enough to relate to that generation and hold them accountable for it, you know. Because we all can be here, everybody can play a role, but we have to start making them, you know, getting them to stand a little bit on their feet and being responsible for learning how to fill out those applications as well, just like you were saying. Miss Johnson, Miss Kathy be so busy with all the other stuff. So we got three of us, Miss Johnson.
That's right. And
we
have
three
more
of us.
Yes, the young lady she volunteered to be.
Yes, who was that? Was that my niece, Miss Tara?
No, it was Avitris.
Oh, that's AV. Okay, all right. Yes.
we got a winner on the team.
Yes. You changed your voice. I was trying to catch it. Good deal. Oh, yeah. She is always on the move. Love it. Community person, I tell you.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you this one here. You might want to put it on your website. It's NITRO scholarship. Now, that's the one that's $2,000, but once you get your application in by August 31st of this month, so, you know, you can qualify, start qualifying. I don't know all the ins and outs. I was just reading it before program started, but I was able to get the application in, and they have another one up there for $1,000. But those little things add up. They add up. And it's before you know, you'll have enough for a full ride. You know. For the next journey that they'll be facing. But I do like the idea about
Mm-hmm. That weekly report. That's really good.
That, right, that you were speaking about, AAV, about the medical field, young men getting, we need to kind of find a way to get with the school system so we can have some mentors to make sure that they meet that requirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're interested in science, that they meet the requirements that's required for them to get the full ride.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's, like DEFSET is begging to partner with schools. They want to partner with schools to have DEFSET
mm-hmm.
in their schools. And then, or
mm-hmm.
at least partner with the school so they can set the programs up. And like I said, they provide the transportation. Most parents just have to get them to the buses. If there's transportation involved, they do that. You just have to get them to the bus. Like when they go to U of M Ann Arbor, they're not
mm-hmm.
asking the parents to do that. They're, you just got to get them to the bus, and then the bus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Because I know
we have to get that word out. We really have to get that word out and get their parents excited about their kids learning in their future. You know that they have to be a part of that. You know, parents kind of put that responsibility on the teachers and the school system, but we have to get our parents more motivated on what we're supposed to do, how strong we're supposed to be backing them. That is, you know, that's supposed to be a priority. Yeah, a priority to get them what they need so they can get lost.
Right. I like that. They can
get lost.
But I do.
Yes.
And this is something that we're going to have to come together as a community and start identifying. What
mm-hmm.
our children need. Well, you want to be a doctor? Well, listen, this is what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get somebody to hold them accountable for it. And
mm-hmm.
so they can stand on their own feet, and then they have to pay forward to someone else underneath them. They have to know
mm-hmm.
how to help someone underneath them to pull the rings and move forward. But I'm not going to say anymore because we're into Pastor O's
time. Just a little bit on struggling students and how parents can help them organize their learning and just give them the support that they need, meet with the teachers, and support them with their homework. Make sure it's a priority. And if they don't have any homework, find out why they don't have any homework. Go and arrange for outdoor activities. And just be an encouragement to your child. Be encouraging to them. When they go to sleep at night, kiss them, hug them, let them sleep peacefully. And what can they do to help them? Make sure that they're stable, you know, their household is stable, you know, that it's peaceful, because, I mean, they want stability, and it helps with their confidence, and just being safe and being safe, having a safe home and a place where they could study in their home. All that should be, you know, in peace, and not a lot of drama and things like that going on in the home, you know, things like that. So so in order to help the students that are struggling, I like the idea A.B. was saying, talking about the weekly progress report. And I know my sister was big on that, having her teachers email her a kid's progress report, keeping up and finding out where they are, and just being excited about what they do, being excited about their learning, and just, you know, asking questions so that they know you're interested in them. Yeah. Kids want us to love them. Kids want us to be interested in their learning and everything that they do. And that's just going to make them better. Okay? All right. What else? That's it. Okay. Did someone talk about the men mentors? We're going to talk about the meeting that took place on Wednesday the next time, as far as the chickens and the honeybees. Very interesting meeting. Yeah, do we have time to hit on it right quick? Can we make it short? Or Jackie, can you summarize it?
We're at 8:21.
Okay, good deal. We'll do that next time. What interesting meeting. So, yes. And, yes, we do need more men mentors. We're going to have to get our young boys in that's going to be men one day. We're going to really have to work on them and get them together and let them know what their role is in this world. Okay. All right, Pastor O. Miss Johnson, you have anything else?
No, not this time.
Okay. Miss Jackie, Miss A.V., all good?
Are we all good?
Okay. Anybody else out there to press one, Pastor O? When you're ready, come on in.
Okay.
It's the Pastor O show.
Right. Oh, God, that brought back some memories. I remember when I did the Pastor O show. I think there's still some of that on there, on Blog Talk Radio. Those were the two-hour days. Those were the two straight-hour days. But congratulations on the 501c3. Congratulations on that. Okay, you know Running for Christ Ministries, you know your church family going to support you.
Yeah.
You already got that because, you know, that's just automatic. You know, and we already know about what things you're doing and what things you plan to do. So we don't even have to wonder about that. And that's some awesome stuff right there.
That is
a huge step. And like you say, you're a good fundraiser, so... But it's good that long before you ask anybody for a penny, you're already doing it right out of your own pocket. Right. So that shows that right there is integrity, and that builds trust. People can trust because, you know, when you do like Sheila and I had to do with Running for Christ, we had to put in a long time. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, well, it's time for other people to put in, and I need you to just run this. And, you know, so congratulations on that. And I was listening from the beginning to your monologue, and one of the things that you said was that the children today are mimicking what they see in the home. And so that's what gave me my thought for the evening. And I think you went back to that in a later conversation. That seems to be, you know, I think you've come to the conclusion that we have to do something about what's going on in the home. What has happened in that house? Because we're dealing with the symptoms of what happens in that house. Okay? And so that's what gave me the thought. And rather than going to Deuteronomy, rather than going to Ephesians 6, we went to Ephesians 5. I usually teach about marriage from here or about spiritual homes from here. But, you know, in the first so many verses, at least the first seven, it talks about us being an example. Now, if you have an NIV Bible or even a King James Bible, whatever version you have, it'll all be the same. The conversation here in chapter 5 is a continuation of the conversation that took place in chapter 6. The latter part of it starting at chapter 4, the latter part was, so I tell you this, instructions for Christian living. For Christian living. Now, what you said is true. What we see in the streets is what was learned somewhere else. Wherever children spend the majority of their time is where they pick up most of the behaviors you see when you see and hear them in the streets. And we know that most of that time is spent, should be, around home. Around home.
Mm-hmm.
If children learn to curse, around home. If children learn to argue, to settle things, around home. If children learn sexual promiscuity, it's from the examples around them. Might not be in the house, but it's in the family somewhere. They saw it somewhere. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, remember Paul's continuing his conversation from Ephesians chapter 4, which is the reason why churches are so very important and why it is so important for you to have a pastor. Okay? So that when you, this is what the pastor is going to do. This is from chapter 4. This is verse 12. I done went backwards. Okay? To equip, this is what God gave pastors who teach or pastors who are teachers or pastors who pastor and teach. However you want to say it, that's what it's talking about right here. It is not necessarily talking about having the gift of teachers. It's not saying pastors and teachers as if they're two different things. They're one and the same. There are pastors who pastor the church and administrate it under Christ, and they teach. And why? Because the next words that follow wouldn't make any sense if it was anything else. It says to equip his people for works of service. Okay, these are the gifts that God gave to the church so that he could equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's one of the reasons, of many reasons, you need to have a pastor. So when you go home, when you leave the church after that hour and a half, or if you do Sunday school, the 2.5 hours you did at church on Sunday, okay, if it's 168 hours in a week, well, what is that, 165 and a half or 166 and a half that's still left to go? And where will those children be for those hours, that 165 and a half hours? They'll be at your house. They'll be around this one. They'll be around that one. They'll be around those and them. Wherever they spend the most of their time is the behavior you're going to see. It's going to, the words that come out of their mouth, the behavior, everything. So Paul continues here in chapter 5 by saying, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now, what I want you to notice here is he does not go around saying you're a Christian, but he is saying go around being a Christian. Doing what Christians do, talking like Christians talk. And when you hear that word Christian, the word that it came from in the Greek is called Christianos. It is what the Greeks called the Christians in an effort to define them. And the word Christianos simply means partisan for Christ or a follower of Christ. The Hebrews used a different word. They'd use people of the way. And what they meant was people who were the same way as Jesus, talking, walking, and all of that. But notice the flow in all of this that I'm going to read, that it is not something you say that makes you a Christian, other than your confession for Christ. You say, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, that we know that. But what I'm talking about is a Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple, a follower, a learner from Christ. Not somebody who accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior but don't follow yet. They're not learning yet. This is talking about a follower. So he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. See, already, walk in the way of love. Don't talk in the way of love. Don't think in the way of love only. But walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us. Now watch this. He loved us, right? But what did he do? He gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, simply meaning he was the offering that God would accept to reconcile us back to himself. But it was not just talk. It was walk. It was what he did. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. So if these things are improper for us, then we can easily come to the conclusion that our world is the way it is today because we're not paying attention to God. And our children are the way they are today because if we are the canvas, the painting that they're looking at, then that's where they're getting their ideas from. When your children look at you, when your nephews and nieces look at you, when your children's friends look at you, what are they learning? Without you even opening your mouth. You know, what is it, Thessalonians 4:11-12, quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands. Do what? Get the respect of those on the outside. None of that involves opening your mouth. So what are we saying without even saying? Are we sexually immoral? Are we having more sex than married people? Are we telling our kids constantly, this is your uncle? This is my friend who stays all night and leaves in the morning? What about impurity or greed? Because these are improper for God's holy people. So are we doing improper things in front of our children and teaching them improper habits as potential children of God? Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. One day I was cleaning the bathroom and I heard somebody say, "You're welcome." And I didn't know who it was or what it was. So I went outside and watched my car. And I heard somebody say, "You're welcome." And I'm like, "Okay, Lord, is that you trying to tell me something?" And what he was saying is, when you clean up the bathroom, you're thanking me for it. When you wash your car, you're thanking me for it. And when people see, as it said over there in 1 Thessalonians 11:12, when people see, they get a message. Old folks used to simply say, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. For of this you can be sure." Now here's the part you want to hear. "No immoral, impure, or greedy person, for such a person is an idolater, worshiping worldliness and worldly things, has any inheritance," that word inheritance, pay attention to it, "in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." What is he talking about, inheritance? What does he mean, idolater? Well, an idolater is a person who puts any person, place, or thing above God. He says no immoral person. This is a person who practices immorality. This is the person who says it's okay to be gay. This is the person who says it's okay for me to seek illegitimate financial gain. God understands. No, that person is an idolater. That person puts a person, place, thing, or thought above God and justifies themselves in their behavior because of what are they getting from it. But then he goes on to say that kind of person does not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Does that mean they're going to hell and not heaven? Because remember, Paul talking to Christians. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, not people in the world. It'd be easy for us to point this at them, okay? And then we could rest ourselves that he's not talking about me because I believe in Jesus. No, he's talking about you. Paul was talking to Christians who are, especially in Ephesus, involved in these kinds of behavior, like the folks over in Corinth. Same thing. But what he means when he says inheritance, it's not about inheriting money, but it's talking about the power. It's talking about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, taking place in your life and in your environment. That's not happening. The benefits that we get from being obedient children, okay, obedient children to God, that's not happening for you. So what example are you? What kind of Christian example? When we ordain the deacons or preachers at our church, whether they be men or women, I always tell them the same thing. You're going to be a deacon until you die. That title will never be taken away from you, man or woman. It'll never be taken away from you. You'll be a preacher till you die. It'll never be taken away from you. But what people say about you, you will put every word that they speak against you in their mouth. You will be a deacon with a bad reputation. You will be a preacher with a bad reputation. And that means the power of God that's available to you is not working. It's not happening because you're not properly aligned with God. And so we have to pay attention to what kind of examples that we're setting in front of children, whether they be in our house, whether they're in our churches, whether they're in our schools, whether in the grocery stores, wherever we encounter them. What are we teaching them when we're around them? Because they say children from 1 to 3 are like little sponges. And they also say that a child's brain is not fully developed until they're 25. What are we contributing to that? Is it good or bad? Is it something that God is going to be glad you imparted it to them? Or is it going to be something that not so much? My mother and father led all of us to Christ, but they did it in a nonverbal kind of way. It wasn't verbal until the very end with me. It was mostly what we saw in them. What we saw in my father, if you got caught at the table and he was praying for the food, you might as well go on and join the fast because he's going to pray for a while. And my mother, you would often see her down by the side of the bed praying every Sunday morning. Whether my father went or not, she was, because he was Catholic for a time and she was Baptist. She got up every Sunday and went to church. And if she didn't go up, deacon would pop up at the house on Saturday to pick up the tithe. We didn't know it then, but it was the tithes and offerings she was giving. That's what we saw. Every one of us turned out to be just like them. It was 3 girls, 6 boys. All of us turned out just like them. For the most part, except for my brother Christopher, all married. All the men were just like my father. We worked hard to make sure that we provided for the home. Whether my mother did work. She worked at Ford Motor Company for a time, and for a time she worked at Gearback Funeral Homes right up there on Jefferson. But they worked together to raise all of us. And the only example we saw was a mother and father loving each other. A mother and father trying to get us educated and definitely educating us about God. But like I said, in a funny way, they lived it in front of us rather than telling us, you know, Jesus died for you. One day you're going to have to accept the Lord as your own Savior. It wasn't all of that. We wanted what they had. I wanted what my father had, especially because he would talk to God like he was right in the room. And with him, God could do anything. He ain't worried about nothing. And he was like that his whole life. And that's what we saw when our children that we're around from time to time or every day, when they look at us, and if they had to write down what they saw in us, what would they write? One time, I don't know if it was a preacher or somebody, I'll close with this, scared the crap out of me. He said, and at the time I was kind of foul. I was really foul. He said, if I came and asked the people who know you best, what are you like, what would they tell me? Right then I knew I had a lot of work to do. You know, like that song Cat played at the end of the show, Work to Do. I had a lot of work to do because people didn't have nothing good to say about me. I needed to give them something good to say. And I couldn't just go up to them and say, write this. I had to live a life that if you go up to my friends today, if you go up to my family today, people who know me the best, they'll tell you a whole lot, a much different story than they would have told you some years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's example. Pastor Barlow was a great example. My all-time favorite was Reverend E.M. Brown. He was some kind of man. And then my pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis, he taught me something, and I acted so crazy with him, but he taught me something. He said, God rewards faithfulness. And those words stuck with me. He told me, you got head knowledge. It ain't in your heart. You know the word, but you don't know the Lord. And he was right. I had to switch that around. I wanted to become like those folks I held in high esteem. Avitra's mother. I mean, she was a faithful servant of God at a church where people would just wear you straight to death. But she was just awesome at it for 30 plus years. I mean, all kinds of attacks. I was in meetings where people were attacking her, and she was right there. But Jesus didn't let nobody lay a glove on her. I wanted to be like that. I wanted that. I wanted what I saw, not what I heard, but what I saw. That's because I saw human beings being powerful examples. And you know, those people made a big difference in my life. So, brothers and sisters, we're a picture. And people are looking at us every day. And Christ is the one who's painting that picture. And it's not complete yet, so don't get too tripped out if you ain't perfect. All right? But do the best that you can to be a good example to anybody looking at you, especially our young people. Especially our young people. Don't be cussing in front of them. Don't be saying, I'm grown, I can do this. Because that just tells them when they get grown, they can do it. You know, apologize to them for being a bad example to them. And that kind of transparency and that humility put together, they'll never forget that. I mean, think about the things you remember that people told you that made that, and to this day, maybe back then you didn't think it had that much impact on you, but it did. You know, like a duck needs his bill more than once. I was laughing about that the other day. Because that's what my father would say if you wanted to borrow money. And didn't know what that meant until I didn't pay it back, and I went back and needed my bill again. But I can't get nothing because I didn't pay back last time. So a duck needs his bill more than once. He ain't going to eat just once a day. He's going to eat every day. But I didn't get it then, but I got it when I couldn't borrow no more money. And when I did borrow some more money, I made sure I paid it back because the duck needs his bill more than once. Or not just giving you money, but saying stuff like, Daddy, can I have a dollar? Because that was way above a nickel and a quarter. And back in the day, that was some big money. He said, no, I ain't going to give it to you because I'll make a poor hustler out of you. But if you go outside and do this for me, I'll give you $10. So those kinds of things. Think about it. When children ask you for something, think about it like that. Be intentional about teaching them a life lesson. Be like Jesus. He turned everything into a teaching moment. So be like him and be intentional. Ooh, you better stop me, Kat, because I'll never quit. I got sermons fired up in me. I'll be preaching tomorrow at Terrence Place. I'll be preaching Sunday, so I got some Holy Ghost fire going over here. I'm telling you.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, good deal. You guys will be listening tomorrow. That's Runner for Christ Ministries. Same number, call, and you can, if you don't have a church home to go to, you can join us tomorrow at 9 o'clock Saturday school and 10 o'clock morning worship service. And Pastor O just said he was preaching tomorrow, so that's a treat.
I get to preach one of the sermons I preached on here. I've been kind of asking the Lord to let me preach it because he got me doing that series thing at church, going through all the books of the New Testament. So when do you get a chance to preach anything else? Well, I just said that last week, and this week I'm preaching one of the – it's going to be one of the sermons you've heard me – well, the sermonettes you've heard me preach on here. But now I get to expand on it. And the reason I love it is because the Lord has to speak to me about it. And that means I'm going to learn more stuff than I ever knew about it. And so that's
what a relationship. That's having an awesome relationship with God right there. He is speaking right to you.
Well, he has to, or either I'll come up with my own thoughts, and he seemed to be really, really afraid of that. I say, Lord, you know, I can come up with my own thoughts. No, no, don't worry about it. I got
he said,
you.
I got you.
None of your thoughts, okay? None of your thoughts.
Well, you're doing great so far. You are. We appreciate you all the time. I just love what you when you talk about your parents and them, you know, and that's just how it was back then, mother and father loving each other, and that's what they showed. Teamwork. Like you said, a powerful couple. They worked together to take care of their families as a team, you know. Man, those were the great days. Yes.
I'm telling you, and you don't forget them. And like I hear you say all the time, we had it. Why don't we give it to this generation? Why, if it was so awesome for us, and it was, why do we withhold it from them?
Right. They should have it too. Yes. Okay, we got work to do. Yes, we do. Yeah, work to do. So, yes, like you said, tune in tomorrow. What is it? 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 646-915-814-8148. Same number. And then Sunday, River Ridge High School in-person service, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock Sunday school. Okay, if you don't have nowhere to go, come on and join us at Runner for Christ Ministries. We have a good time over there.
Fun. Yeah, Rebecca wanted to know about a phone. I don't know if she mentioned it to you in an email or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Bedtime story.
We're going to have that. We're going to do a whole episode first, and then we'll include that song in.
About
that. Great.
I love it. I went to listen to it, and, you know, because I had to hear, did it teach anything funny? Were there actually any curse words in it? It was clean completely from beginning to end, and the thought is awesome. It's some kids who want to hear a bedtime story, and he tells them a bedtime story about some little kids who wanted to get in some trouble, and it ends where you might not want to. It didn't end tragically. It just ended where you know. You probably want to go a different way, and that was awesome. That was awesome because you go on YouTube, you can get the lyrics, and so I read all the lyrics.
Yeah,
this podcast.
We're gonna use that
in some of our
programs. We're gonna use that, and that's gonna be good. That's gonna go with that book series that Sister June Rogers wrote with
The Boss and Me.
Boss and Me is Me, yeah. That would go great with that. It really would, yeah. Good things coming. Yes, sir. Let me see. Next Friday, our very own youth and young adult, Shania Cox, Jacob Ritvine, they're part of the youth and the young adult, is going to be doing the show next Friday because I will be fishing. And I believe she's going to talk about business because she's out there in corporate America in the business world. And so she wants to bring some life to that on the next show. So tune in and support her next week. Pastel, you know what that means.
I already know.
Thank you. Okay, so I think that's it. Let me see. Just take the kids to church so that they can get some guidance because, you know, we have all this social media out here that's teaching them things that that we don't want them to learn. And so we want to keep them focused on the good things and the things that they're supposed to learn, then we have to make sure that we take them and put them around, good positive things. And because there's a lot of influencers out there right now, and they are running rapid with it. Let's plan for our kids. Let us plan for them. Don't let the prison system plan for them. Let us plan for them. We have to plan for them. And because everybody want them. Everybody want them but us. So let's get our kids back and do what we have to do to make sure that they have what they need to make it. Okay? We got lots of work to do. And we're all ready for the challenge. Bring back the family, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.